Welcome back, everyone, to 1001 Radio Days and two episodes of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, with Bob Bailey. Enjoy.
Johnny Dollar.
Pat McCracken, Johnny, Universal Adjustment Bureau.
Pat, haven't had an assignment from you in, several days.
Yes, I know. Now, listen, this expense account of yours.
Huh?
On that case you just finished.
Oh, now listen, Pat, after all these years, and I not only gave you a full report, but an itemized statement.
I know.
That expense account was completely legitimate from start to finish. Every single item was money out of my own pocket that I spent to solve that case.
What case?
The one you're talking about, the one I handled for you last week, whatever it was.
You don't remember what it was.
Well, what difference does it make? All I'm saying is that whatever expenses I put down there were completely justified.
You remember what the total came to?
I haven't the least idea.
Then let me remind you.
Oh, now look, that's beside the point.
You knew exactly $12.30.
Well, I tell you, every penny of it was $12.30.
That's right. Now, do you blame me for thinking maybe you were sick or something?
Oh, no. And I thought you were... Okay, Pat, argument's over.
Only it isn't, Johnny.
Huh?
Not by a long shot.
You mean you are going to question that expense account?
No, I mean we never discussed a fee on that case.
Oh, well.
The fact that you had a pretty rough time of it and almost got yourself killed, well, I persuaded the company to slap on an extra fee of $500.
Oh, Pat, you are a doll. And I ought to slug you.
Instead, how about taking on another one?
Fee on this one, too?
We'll see.
I'll risk it.
Then grab a flight to Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Contact Edward J. McNair at McNair's Emporium.
McNair's what?
The Emporium. That's one of the big department stores. Somebody lifted a few dollars out of their safe last Saturday.
How much?
Something over $400,000.
Wow, we.
Yeah. Well?
Okay, Pat, I'm on my way.
CBS Radio brings you Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
And now, Act One of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Universal Adjustment Bureau Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Buffalo matter. Expense account item one, $49.50, plane fare and incidentals to Buffalo, New York. Item two, $8 even for taxi fares. After dropping my luggage at a hotel, I went over to the Emporium. In the big office on the top floor, I talked to Mr. McNair himself.
$421,216, according to the books.
Well, that's quite a loss, Mr. McNair.
And I suppose, Mr. Dollar, that to some extent it's my own fault. My fault.
Oh, why do you say that, sir?
Heaven knows, John Harker suggested changing the procedure more than once.
John Harker?
Yes, my young personal assistant. Also company treasurer.
Oh, I see.
But I've run things single-handed the same old way for so long, and nothing like this ever happened before.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to tell me about it?
We've followed the same procedure every Saturday night for over 28 years, which is to say that as soon as the store was closed, each department head, in turn, brought his cash receipts up here to the treasurer.
This, John Harker.
Then Harker gave the department head a receipt, put the money in the vault, and that was that.
Well, sir, it seems to me it would have been a lot safer to have an armored car deliver that money to the depository of some bank during the day, maybe several times a day.
Exactly what John suggested some time ago. I suppose I should have listened to him.
Well, go on, sir.
Last Saturday, after we closed, things went along quite as usual. That is, until Mr. Ellery in sporting goods, always the last to bring his money to the vault, until he knocked on Harker's door.
Well, right on cue.
Excuse me. Come in.
Mr. McNair, I...
John, come in, please. I want you to meet Mr. Johnny Dollar. This is John Harker.
Mr. Dollar?
Hiya.
Dollar represents the insurance companies we trust will make good on our loss.
Well, I certainly hope you can make more progress than the police have, Mr. Dollar.
That bandage on your head have anything to do with the robbery, Harker?
Yes, it certainly has.
Terrible, isn't it? Now sit down, John. Tell Mr. Dollar exactly what happened on Saturday night when Mr. Ellery came up to turn his cash over to you.
Thank you, sir. Oh, I'm afraid it was all my fault, Dollar.
Not a bit of it.
Yes, yes, for being caught off guard.
All right, what happened?
Well, when Ellery knocked on the door of the vault room, I asked who it was. He told me, and, well, I should have known by his tone of voice that something was wrong.
Now, John, you're not to blame. This sort of thing could have happened to anybody. Even to me.
Thank you, Mr. McNair, but it doesn't alter the fact that... Well, Dollar, I went over and unlocked the door for Ellery. But instead of walking in, he was forcibly thrust into the room. The door was thrown back so hard, it knocked me down, knocked me unconscious.
Terrible, terrible.
And when I came to, the cash drawers of the vault were empty. The keys had been literally torn out of my pocket.
You should have a new suit for that, John.
Thank you, sir. Ellery, poor Mr. Ellery, lay there bound with adhesive tape after being badly beaten.
Did you see whoever it was came barging in that way?
If I hadn't been standing behind that door, I might have.
I see. What about this man Ellery?
Tell him, John.
Yes, sir. Well, poor Ellery did catch a glimpse of him, but the man was wearing a sort of mask over his face.
He gave what description he could to the police, of course.
And, well, that's about it.
Thank you, John. Now go along.
Yes, sir.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Don't misunderstand me, Mr. Dollar, but I don't want to keep John around here any longer than necessary.
Well, but
if Dollar wants to be around, I'll cancel the trip gladly.
Trip?
Of course. After what's happened, that knock on the head was pretty serious. John is taking my cruiser on a little trip.
Oh, I can't say I blame
him. So run along, John. You can leave tonight as you plan.
Whatever you say, Mr. McNair.
Harker, wait a minute.
Your friend all ready to go with you?
Oh, I hope you don't mind my taking him along, sir.
Not a bit. Now run along. Run along. Have a good time. And a good rest.
Look, yes, it's customary.
Thank you very much, sir.
Mr. Dollar, I suppose you'd like to talk to Mr. Ellery now. Well?
Yeah. I'd like to talk to somebody who was involved in this thing. David Ellery, the other victim of the robbery, was still out to lunch, so I grabbed a bite myself. That's item 3, $1.75, and checked with the police. Nothing helpful at all. No leads on the man who'd got away with over $400,000 from a store there in Buffalo, New York. Then I went over to the Emporium, to the sporting goods department. Ellery was back, and I talked with him in a little office in a corner of the stockroom. He was still suffering from the beating he'd taken.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dollar. It was awful. Terrible. And, yes, sir, it was just like young Mr. Harker told you it was.
I understand that you gave the police a description of the man who attacked you.
Well, yes, sir, best I could.
Had you ever seen him before that you know of?
Well, of course, I can't be absolutely sure because of that mask he was wearing, but I don't think so.
Was he waiting at the door of the vault room when you got there to put the money in the safe?
Well, Mr. Harker always does that, sir.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I just go up and knock on the door and tell him who I am. Well, you see, he always keeps the door locked when he's taking the company cash that way.
Yeah, sure.
So I knock on the door and shout my name, and then he opens up and I give him the money. Then he gives me a receipt, and he puts the money in the vault.
But you didn't answer my question. When did you first see this man in the mask?
Well, only when Mr. Harker was opening the door for me.
Yes?
He must have sneaked up on me, and then just when Mr. Harker opened the door, he grabbed me by the shoulders, and, sir, he just threw me into that vault room.
Ah, and John Harker was struck by the door as it was banged open.
Poor young fellow. It must have hurt him something terrible. Knocking him out that way.
Looks to me like you got the worst of it, though.
Oh, I'm so sorry for John Harker.
What?
Nice young fellow like him. trying so hard to make his way in the company and then to have a thing like this happen.
Now, Mr. Ellery...
Doing real good for himself, too. Doing real good for the Emporium.
Yeah, well, not telling...
Lots of good ideas for building up the business. And Mr. McNair liked that and kept pushing him ahead.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So that someday, John could be earning himself a lot of money. Not that us old-timers ever complain.
Mr. Ellery...
I mean about the wage scale here at the...
Wait a minute, please.
Yes, sir.
How long has John Harker been with the Emporium?
About a year now, and he's lived up to the recommendations he come with so well. It's just no wonder, Mr. McNair.
Recommendations? From where?
Macy's and Gimbel's in New York. And John Wanamaker in Philadelphia. From lots of big stores. A couple in Chicago, too.
Oh.
Yes, sir. Mr. McNair told us about it himself when he hired Mr. Harker and explained that's why he'd give him a better job than some of us old-timers.
Macy's, Gimbel's, Wanamaker.
You don't believe me, you asked Mr. McNair.
You know something, Mr. Ellery?
What, sir?
That's the one thing I believe I'd better not do.
What?
Well, thanks a lot. You've been a lot of help.
Well, now, Mr. Dollar.
I had suddenly begun to wonder about the way Mr. McNair had gotten Harker out of his office before I could thoroughly question him. About the possibility that McNair might have engineered this robbery himself. Because it had to be somebody completely familiar with the procedures, the routines of that store, because of the timing. Somebody who knew the place would be virtually empty at that time of day. Who knew that Ellery was always the last to take his money up to the vault. I'd noticed a checkbook on Mr. McNair's desk. It made a mental note of the name of the bank. But it was now after 5 p.m., so rather than push things until I was sure, I went back to my hotel room to clean up, eat some dinner, and get a good night's sleep. But as I started to open my handbag, wondering, by the way, if I'd forgotten to lock it for the first time in my life... Yeah, I've heard that sound before. I grabbed the bag, made a dash for the open window, and threw it as hard and as far out from the building as I could, out over the empty lot beside the hotel. Funny. I got a sneaking suspicion about then that somebody in Buffalo didn't particularly want me around. Needless to say, I had to do a bit of explaining to the police about the infernal machine in my handbag that I'd tossed out of my hotel. And the company will have to pay for some broken windows in that neighborhood. And needless to say, their only theory about who might have planted that bomb was the man in the mask, whose identity was still unknown to them. But I had an idea. Besides the police, only 3 people could have known I was there. Mr. Ellery, Heidi the type. Young John Harker. No, he was off on a yachting trip. And that left Mr. McNair. But like I said, rather than push things without some proof. Well, item 4 is $7 for drinks and a good dinner, and I hit the sack for some much-needed rest. But first thing in the morning, I was in the cashier's office at the bank.
Yes, sir, what can I do? Johnny!
Holy Barton! Now, what under the sun are you doing here?
I'll have you know that I'm not only cashier of this bank, but a vice president, too. How are you, boy?
Congratulations. Well, look, I got to get right to the point. I want to know all I can about the financial condition of not only Mr. Edward J. McNair, but also the store he owns, the Emporium.
Oh, now, Johnny, you know that things like that are of a confidential nature between a banker and his client.
Oh, I can see you're going to be a lot of help.
I'll tell you this, though. McNair is worth millions. Millions, Johnny.
Well, how about outstanding debts against the store?
McNair's old-fashioned. He pays cash. Cash on the line for everything. That store hasn't owed a penny for, I'd say over 25 years. Nor has McNair himself. So, Johnny, if you're by any chance thinking...
$400,000 is still a lot of money, Will.
Well, to him, it's only a drop in the bucket. But, of course, he's entitled to recover it, and if one of the companies you represent has to pay it...
Wait a minute. Let me use your phone.
Why, surely, here.
Item 5, 840, long-distance calls to New York and Philadelphia to Macy's, Gimbel's, and John Wanamaker's, to the personnel directors. And from each of them, I get the same answer. They'd never even heard of John Harker. I left the bank and went over to the Emporium to the office of Mr. McNair.
Oh, I know, Mr. Dollar. I haven't the least idea where John and his friend are going in my cruiser. He simply asked if he might have it for a few days.
Asked for it? I thought it was your idea that he take that trip.
Well, of course I agreed that he should get away for a few days to rest, recuperate.
A few days?
Yes. Huh?
And also get away with your $400,000.
What?
Played right into his hands. You know anything about this friend he's taking along?
Well, I presume, being a young man with lots of lady friends.
Well, I presume it's the guy who helped him with that robbery.
What are you saying, Mr. Dollar?
Oh, brother, how nicely things are beginning to add up around here. To begin with, it had to be somebody here in the store. And listen.
I'm listening, sir.
Harker told me, right here in your office, he told me that when old man Ellery knocked on the door of the vault room, that Harker should have known something was wrong when Ellery called to him and identified himself.
Mr. Dollar.
I should have known by the tone of his voice that something was wrong. Now, those were the words that Harker used. You heard him say it, too. But he was lying.
Lying?
Yeah. Because Ellery didn't know the robber was even there until after John had opened the door for him.
You're sure of that?
I'm sure.
Mr. Dollar, are you trying to say that John Harker, that fine young man...
I am trying to tell you that you have made an old fool of yourself, that you made your first mistake when you hired that smart young crook.
I'll have you know that John came here with the highest possible recommendation.
Yeah, well, Macy's and Gimbel's and the rest never even heard of him.
What?
So in your blind faith, you not only taught him how to stage the robbery, he and his pal, whoever he is, but now, with your cruiser, you've helped him get away with it, with your money.
But good heavens, Mr.
Now, if you'll just give me a hand, come up with some bright idea for finding that boat of yours somewhere out in the middle of Lake Erie. Yeah, and probably headed for some remote little port on the Canadian side of the lake. Believe me, if ever I needed a stroke of luck, it's right now. You know something? Well, Lady Luck must have been tagging along right at my heels. And don't ever underestimate the United States Coast Guard. A big sou'wester had built up over Lake Erie, so they'd contacted every small boat within 100 miles. The boys aboard McNair's yacht hadn't dared not answering the call. They would only have sent the Coast Guard out looking for them. And where were they?
Dollar, they're riding out the blow in the Lea Long Point off the Canadian shore. Here it is in the chart.
Or is that just where they say they are?
No, radio compass checks have verified their position. Right there. But now, Mr. Dollar...
Yeah, no. That puts them in Canadian waters, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Which means we have no jurisdiction, no authority. Of course, our friends across the border will be glad to cooperate any way they can. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, but by the time we take whatever legal procedures may be necessary... No, listen.
Yes, sir?
Now, off the record, unofficially... Suppose I were to go out there after them myself.
Oh, no, Mr. Dollar.
Well, somebody has to nab them. Suppose I could find a boat and a skipper willing to weather this storm. Huh? How about that?
Well, I think maybe... Now, I'm not sure, mind you, but I think I've heard of some chap around here that owns a converted subchaser. Weather out any kind of a storm.
Yeah?
Now, of course, you understand, I'm hardly in a position to recommend that you attempt any such thing.
Expense account item 6, $585, rental of the subchaser and the skipper to go with it. And while I'd like to give you a thrilling, dramatic ending for this case, well, the trip across Lake Erie in that storm did have its moments. But from there on in, it was just a matter of running down John Harker and his pal, clapping him into chains and hauling him back to Buffalo with the money. So expense account total, including transportation home? Well, now, wait. As it turned out, there's a lot more to this thing. Yeah. I'll tell you all about it in my next report. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, well, as I told you, there's a lot more to this case. As a matter of fact, it turned out to be the most exciting, most dangerous assignment. Well, join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is written, produced, and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Bartlett Robinson, James McCallion, Dick Crenna, Junius Matthews, and Gil Stratton.
Johnny Dollar.
Still there in Buffalo, huh?
Yeah.
You
get my report on the big robbery case out here?
Yes. It looks to me like you've done yourself proud again. Only if you're still there, how come your expense account included transportation back here to Hartford?
I'm afraid I got a little ahead of myself, Pat.
Or maybe just batted a bit before you actually spent the money, is that it?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, I think we can overlook it this time. After all, you recovered something over $400,000 that was stolen from that store.
Well, let's say I found out where it went.
Well, that's the same... What? You mean to say you didn't get that money back?
Not yet.
Oh, but Johnny... Now, look...
No, don't come unglued, Pat. I know where the money is. At least I'm pretty sure I do.
Johnny, so
it's aboard old man McNair's yacht in the lee of a point off the Canadian shore of Lake Erie.
Now, listen...
But with the big storm that's raging up over Lake Erie, well, it's impossible to go out and get him.
Who's them?
An employee, an ex-employee of the Emporium, the guy who took the money, and his pal who helped him get away with it.
Well, now you wait until that storm is over, and by that time they'll be 100 miles away.
They'll be hidden away in some little cove there on the Canadian shore.
The what? What was that?
Nothing, Pat. Now listen, I'll keep on it.
You'd better.
I'll bring him back here, and the money, or die in the attempt.
You fail to get that money back, and I'll gladly attend your funeral.
Yeah, okay, Pat, I'll stay with it.
Believe me, Johnny, you'd better.
CBS Radio brings you Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Universal Adjustment Bureau, Hartford, Connecticut. Attention, Mr. Pat McCracken. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Further in Buffalo matter. What I hadn't told Pat over the phone was that the last minute the Coast Guard had stepped in, forbidden me to go after those crooks in a rented subchaser after all. And you know something? Because of that storm, I'm afraid they were right. In spite of the fact I'd already paid for that boat and could only get half of it back. I'll put that down as a credit on this expense account. After all, it's on my American Express credit card. Anyhow, all I could do was sit around my hotel room and wait for the storm to quit. Yeah, sit and wait. Come in.
Well, Dollar?
Oh, hi, Mr. McNair.
So you couldn't go after those criminals because of this storm.
Well, sir, just as soon as it lets up...
That's no reason for them to get away. Not with my $400,000.
$421,216. Yeah, look, Mr. McNair,
Quite frankly, that amount of money doesn't mean very much to me. But to coin a phrase, it's the principle of the thing.
Yeah, sure.
So how can you sit idly here in this hotel and... Well, have you got in touch with the Canadian authorities?
Yes, sir, and they can't do any more than we can. Also, there's a kind of ticklish international situation here.
What international situation?
Well, if by any chance I should be wrong...
Be wrong? About what?
Well, I mean... Well, look, after all, the only evidence against John Harker and his pals so far is the circumstantial kind.
I thought you were absolutely certain they took the money.
I am, as sure as I can be, until I get my hands on that money.
I had all the faith in the world in John Harker. Then you came along and destroyed it. Destroyed it with your theory. That he and some friend of his committed that robbery.
Mr. McNair.
Well, just let me tell you something, young man. You go out there to wherever he is on my yacht, and you find him. But when you do, you'd better also find proof that he stole that money.
I'll do everything I can.
Because if you don't, if you or anybody else finds out that he is innocent, Dollar, I'll ride you out of Buffalo on a rail.
Yeah, at this point I was feeling real good, real happy. Everybody was being so nice to me. I was just about to blow expense account item 7 on room service for a bottle of scotch and a couple of quarts of soda when the phone rang. Johnny Dollar.
Murphy at the Coast Guard, Dollar.
Yeah, Murph.
Look, I'm still sorry about having had to stop your chase across the lake, but the old man would have had my scalp.
It's all right, Murph. Nothing you could do about it.
Anyhow, if you've been following the radio reports on that storm, well, you might have got yourself into a lot of trouble out there.
Yeah, I guess so.
And you'd never been able to board a yacht in it anyway.
So, you have any ideas?
Yeah, I just received a report from our meteorological station.
Oh?
That storm's going down just about as fast as it built up. So if you want me to arrange a boat for you to go out there, just as soon as we deem it safe.
Why?
What?
Well, the minute the storm is over, the boys in that yacht will start moving. After all, they got 400 grand they've got to stash away somewhere.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So by the time I could sail over to where they've been riding out the storm, Lord knows where they could get to.
Now, Dollar.
But now, wait a minute. Yeah, Murph, I just got me a wild idea. Wild enough to work.
Oh?
The storm is breaking up now?
Yeah, it's beginning to.
Then, mister, by the time that yacht is able to get underway, I'm going to be right on top of those guys.
Huh? How, Dollar?
Just remember what I said. Right on top of them. Expense account item 7, $3.25 for a taxi out to the municipal airport. Along the way, I noticed the rain was letting up, the wind was dying down. At one side of the airport, I found exactly what I was looking for. Within a couple of minutes, was in a little office talking with Tinker Barnum, owner of the Barnum Flying Service.
Sure, Dollar. Complete equipment for it. Winch, line, slings, everything.
Good.
You see, we not only give a lot of demonstrations, instruction, that sort of thing, but now and then a Coast Guard calls on us to help with an actual rescue at sea.
What'd you say your price is?
$300. That includes me at the control.
Okay, then it's a deal.
Okay, we'll take off just as soon as the wind goes down a few more knots.
Oh, sorry, Tink. We got to take off right away.
But if the wind starts blowing up again...
It won't, and I got that straight from the Coast Guard.
You're sure of that?
I'm sure, so let's go.
Well, I don't know if the tower will give me clearance.
Then forget the tower.
Well, now, wait a minute.
400?
But I could lose my license, Dollar, get in a lot of trouble.
Well, there's nothing else taking off from the field right now.
I know. But that flight that just came in had a pretty rough time of it.
Tell the tower it's an emergency, a rescue operation if you have to, but please, let's get going.
Now, listen, it could be very dangerous.
All right, that's a chance we'll have to take. 500? 550?
Keep talking.
Well, after all, it's 400,000 bucks this thing.
What?
600 bucks. Take it or leave it.
Okay, Dollar, let's go out and warm up the old windmill.
Attaboy. It was my first ride in a helicopter, and brother, what an introduction. I've been aboard regular planes in rough weather lots of times, but the way that wind tossed us around, picked us up and let us down, and with nothing but the broad wind-chopped surface of Lake Erie below us, well, it was an experience, to say the least. For the first half hour, Tink was fighting the controls every inch of the way, and the gray, ominous scudding clouds that raced by overhead. Then, all of a sudden, the clouds left us. The sun came out in all its glory, the most welcome sight I've seen in years, and the air calmed down. Then finally standing out clearly under us was the Canadian shoreline.
Look ahead, Dollar. Over to the left a bit.
Yeah, Tink?
That neck of land, that peninsula sticking out into the lake.
Yeah, I see it.
Long Point.
And the yacht was supposed to be riding out the storm in the lee of it.
I don't see it. The lee side would be the...
But I do. Look, moving along the far side of the point.
That's a cruiser, Johnny. But is it the right one?
Come on, take us down to her.
Right.
Meantime, I'll get the sling ready so you can drop me down to the deck.
Right.
I still don't know how Tink figured he could pilot that helicopter and at the same time lower me to the deck of the yacht. But he can handle a winch. But he swore he'd done it before in rescue operations, and he could do it again. He made a couple of close passes, and I was able to identify John Harker at the helm, a tough-looking character standing beside him. So it had to be McNair's yacht. Then I suddenly realized there were not only two of them, but they both knew who I was, knew all about my interest in the robbery. I could be at a slight disadvantage.
Sure, Dollar. They'd shoot you dead before you even hit the deck.
Think, I can't remember when a lie has ever paid off or even worked. I've got to try one this time.
Well, listen, we could simply keep a line on them and find out where they go.
Yeah, and what happens when this expeditor runs out of gas?
Yeah. Well, I can radio the Canadian Coast Guard.
No, by the time they get through the necessary red tape to hold those boys and get here from wherever the nearest station is.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Okay, then, Johnny, open the door. Use this megaphone.
Thanks.
Here. I'll hang around over them.
Right.
Arthur! Arthur!
He's cut his power and cupped the hand to his ear.
Arthur! This is Johnny Dollar. You hear me? You hear me all right? Wave with your right hand.
It's okay. He can hear you.
McNair wants you to know the police have found the man who did the robbery. They gunned him down.
He waves okay.
Yeah.
Arthur! They haven't found the money yet. McNair says you have the blouse on the bridge. And the place are all about the rapidio.
Hey, what was that, Johnny?
You get that, Harker? I said that... Look, I'll drop on down there. Stop your engines, and I'll drop down to your deck on a line. You get that?
Emotion's okay, Johnny, to come ahead.
Set me down there, Tinker, and make it gentle, will you?
You got your gun real handy?
Right.
I still don't like this, but down you go.
Swinging around under that copter, hoping I'd hit the deck of the boat below, was no fun. It was a pretty small target, and the yacht was still bobbing heavily. But Tink was an expert, and a couple of minutes later, I saw the deck slowly coming up to me.
Lower! Lower! Coming down too fast. That's it. That's more like it. Glad to see you, Dollar.
Can't you steady that boat a little? Better give me a hand when I get down there.
Sure. Don't worry, we'll take care of you. Come on.
Get ready to pull the release cord, Johnny. Steady now. Steady. There you go.
What a way to make a living.
Nice work, Dollar. Let me give you a hand.
Thank you.
Yes, well, Billy here takes your gun away from you.
Oh, no, you don't.
I got it, baby. Now, just one funny move, Dollar, and I'll pull this trigger. You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah. Just one funny move. Okay, Harker, now what?
You know something, Billy? I think it might be a very good idea for you to pull that trigger anyway.
All right, Christian, Billy, make sure Dollar hasn't got another gun on him.
That's just what I'm doing, baby, just what I'm doing. And it's all right. He's clean now.
What did you take me for, Dollar, a fool? Did you think I'd be crazy enough to believe what you were shouting down from that helicopter, whatever it was?
Well, as a matter of fact, Harker, most of it was double talk.
And did you think I'd believe that old fool McNair sent you out here?
Yeah, that's a laugh. That sharp-fisted old coot.
Right, shut up, Billy. That story the police had gunned down the man who stole the money from the emporium don't make me laugh.
You'd like to see that money before you go, Dollar? Like to run your fingers over 400 G's?
Yeah, Billy. Why not?
Well, it's all stashed away in that chain lock up forward. But you ain't never going to see. You're never going to see anything anymore. Can I kill him now, Harker? Can I, huh?
No, no, wait.
Huh?
Stop waving that gun around. That helicopter gets out of sight.
Okay, sure. Well, what's it hanging around for?
I don't know. Dollar, get below the cabin. You stay here, Billy, but keep that gun on through the door where that flyboy can't see it if it comes any closer.
Sure. Go ahead, Dollar.
Sure. Why not?
Now, you just sit right there on that bunk and don't make a move, you understand? Because all I got to do is pull the trigger in here, and neither your pal up in that chopper nor nobody else is going to know it. Has he gone away yet, Harker?
No. No, he's circling around again.
Well, make a sign to him there. Make a sign everything's okay. Go ahead, Harker. That'll send him away.
You just keep Dollar under control.
Now, don't you worry about him. You just go ahead and sing that chopper.
Okay, up there. Everything's okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Lucky, see? I told you now to get rid of him.
Yeah, there he goes.
And maybe I better start digging up something that'll make Dollar sink to the bottom.
What?
Well, you know, the lead I'm going to fill him with might not be enough. You see what I mean?
Yeah, very funny. Go ahead. Only watch him. He's tricky.
I can handle him, baby.
Wait.
Why, what's the matter?
That cop is coming back
well,
again.
Well, I'll shoot him down. I can hit him.
Oh, no, you won't.
Then get us underway. Give her the power and get us underway. Then that guy will know everything's okay.
Maybe you're right. I'll try it.
All the talk, I sat there in the bunk looking into the muzzle of Billy's 38, knowing these were desperate men with a lot at stake, that if I made one false move, he wouldn't hesitate to pull the trigger. Even if he took the gun off me for a couple of seconds, there was nothing in reach I could use for a weapon, could even pick up and throw at him.
Good work, Billy. The cop is going away again.
I told you so. Can I shoot him now? Can I kill him?
I better wait a couple minutes more to make sure.
Well, I'll find some chain or something to tie around and make him sink.
In the locker, under that bunk you got him sitting on.
Okay. All right now, darling. Get off of that bunk and walk up to the front of the camp.
Go ahead. Don't forget I've got this gun on.
Yeah, the copter was going back to shore. Time was running out. And then I saw them. Duplicate set of controls there at the front of the cabin. Steering wheel, throttle, everything.
Go ahead, Dollar. Keep your hands up over your head. Up high.
Rising off the bunk, my hands over my head, I half stumbled as though from the motion from the boat. I lurched against the wheel and grabbed it and swung it hard a port.
Hey!
The boat swung around crazy.
Hey! Where you think you did? Hey, let go of that wheel!
Lousy shot, Billy!
Stop!
What's the matter? Billy! Billy, what's happened down there?
Plenty, Harker. And if you want some of the same...
Wrong, Dollar. Dead wrong. Because I have a gun, too. Not another step.
I see what you mean.
Too bad you didn't take Billy's when you... Billy?
Okay, Harker. I'm okay. But if you think I'll go wait any longer to kill this guy, you're crazy.
Okay, Billy. Go ahead and kill him.
You don't, I will. No, look. That cop.
What?
What's coming right at us? It'll smash into us.
Stop him. Shoot him.
You bet I will.
No, you fool. The pilot and the cop to the flyboy. Shoot him.
Right. Ow!
My last chance. They turned to fire a Tinker up in the copter. I lunged against Billy, shoved him over the side.
Yeah!
By the time Macker turned to fire at me, I was on top of him, swinging with everything I had.
Oh, I'll kill you.
Oh.
All right, Johnny! Okay?
Okay.
Tinker.
Okay. You want to pick up what's left of Billy out there in the water?
Sure, Johnny. After all, that's what I told the tower this was. Sea rescue operation. See you back in Buffalo!
Yeah, like Billy had said, the stolen money, all of it, was stashed away in the Ford chain locker. So after tying up Harker with all the line I could find, I started the engine of that beautiful yacht, but then suddenly realized. Well, put it this way. If Tinker and his copter hadn't stayed with me, so help me, I'd never have found my way back to Buffalo. So, expense account total, including an even $1,000 for Tinker Barnum, and please don't argue about it. Plus the trip back to Hartford, plus the previous charges you haven't yet paid me for, $1,800 even. And believe me, it's a bargain. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, two beautiful girls. One of them a sweetheart, and one of them a killer. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is written, produced, and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Bartlett Robinson, James McCallion, Dick Crenna, Junius Matthews, and Gil Stratton. This is Jim Matthews speaking.
Thanks for joining us here at 1001 Radio Days. If you enjoy our show, please do take a moment and send us a kind review. And remember to share our show with others. Until next time, everyone, stay safe, and we'll be back soon.